listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
You're ready to launch yourself into the latest Rockets news. You're listening to the Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. I'm your host, LaShard Binkley. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at HTownForLife40, all caps. You can also find my written words on the Dream Shakes website, as I had a couple articles come out the last week or so, and I have some more coming up pretty soon, so make sure you check that out. As usual, we always appreciate the 5 stars and reviews, so make sure you leave those for us. On today's show, I am flying solo, no guests. We'll definitely have some guests coming up next week, probably be diving more into draft talk coming up. But for this show, it's going to be just me, and we're going to probably make this a little bit shorter since it's a solo podcast. But in today's show, the first segment, I'll be breaking down the last couple of games. Definitely want to include the Wizards game because, this is, be honest, that's just a lot more fun to talk about than the last night's game, which was an abomination of horrible defense, lack of effort, and some type of hot dog concoction, which I'm still not sure exactly what that was. But that was pretty much what happened last night. Wasn't really a lot to talk about in the actual game because the Rockets were out of it pretty early and never got back into it. But at first, I want to start off with the Wizards game. But also in the second segment, we're going to be talking about some of Jalen Green's progression, which has been pretty good since he's come back from the injury that he suffered a few weeks ago. He has been excellent the last several games, so definitely want to talk about that. In the last segment, we're going to actually talk about some trade, some hypothetical trades that the Rockets could make because the trade deadline is approaching fast. We have like a month or so left in the trade deadline, so the Rockets would definitely – more than likely be active one way or another, whether it's a blockbuster trade or just trading away veterans. One way or another, the Rockets will be involved in this year's trade deadline. So we'll talk about that a little bit in the last segment. Again, in this segment, I wanted to start off with the Wizards win the Rockets had on Wednesday night, where they were able to come out on top 114-111. The Rockets led for most of the game and then let the Wizards back into the game. Even after Bradley Beal fouled out with his sixth foul early in the fourth quarter. But the Rockets were able to pull it out with a KPJ. It was a game winner. It wasn't the last play as they put time back on the clock for the Wizards, but it ended up being the game winner, a sidestep three on the left corner over Nato that gave the Rockets a 114-111 win and capped off a thrilling win, one of the best wins of the year for the Rockets. Even though they only shot 9 for 26 from the field, they still were able to pull the game out. And this was after they had suspended Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr., as we all know by now what happened with that. Kevin Porter Jr. got frustrated, got into it with the coaching staff, left at halftime of the game. And then Christian Wood, who missed his scheduled COVID test that they had before every game, and then was benched by Coach Salas, which, of course, he didn't like that too much. So he proceeded to come out and play 8 minutes in that first half, did absolutely nothing, and then didn't want to come back in the game in the second half. So that was pretty much what happened with that game. That was pretty much a disaster from the beginning. But both players came back. Christian Wood came out strong early, actually led the Rockets in scoring in that game against the Wizards. He was 8 or 12 from the field, actually made all his free throws. Had 22 points, 11 rebounds, and also had 3 steals. So one of the best games for Christian Wood definitely all year, really, especially in the last several weeks because he had been, off and on, hadn't been really consistent the last couple of weeks. Kevin Porter Jr. actually came out strong in that game, but then he struggled a little bit middle of the game. But then, of course, he came up with the big shot at the end. And shout out to Coach Salas for showing faith in him because the play was pretty much whoever Nato is switched off on is going to get the shot. They let switch off Nato to Kevin Porter Jr. He took the shot clock down, sidestep, shot the three, made the three, game winner. And that's, pretty poetic considering it was a lot of think pieces, quote unquote, out that the Rockets should possibly move on from Kevin Porter Jr. cut bait, even though he's only 20-something years old, in his early 20s, is still developing, Still has a chance to be a really good player in the league, and the Rockets basically gave him nothing to get him. So why would they do trade him now, cut him now? And Coach Hollis, you know, said pretty much that there's no way that they're going to get rid of Kevin Porter Jr. after one mistake. And it was really a good thing to see Coach Salas show that confidence in Kevin Porter Jr., made sure that he showed Kevin Porter Jr. that he had that confidence in him and that Kevin Porter Jr. came through. That was a great thing to see. That was, you know, definitely a great way to wrap up that game. Of course, there was also some controversy with the Wizard announcer who said some things about, who made a comment about pulling the trigger. And we all know Kevin Porter Jr.'s past and his past with his family and his father being put in prison. You know, so we all know that history. And since then, he actually, the announcer has apologized, but, you know, it became a really big story because LeBron James got involved in it. And even if it, at the very least, if you want to say that it was a bad coincidence, you know, it's still, at the end of the day, I know he was a replacement. He was a stand-in. He's not the normal broadcaster, but still, at the end of the day, you have to make sure you do some research when you're going into a game, especially if you knew Kevin Porter, the player for the Wizards, and wasn't in actually the Wizards back in the day. It was the Bullets, but you know him, so you at least got to do some research, even if you are a replacement. But that's all I'm pretty much going to say about that because, you know, that's already been ran into the ground. But again, it was a big win, a great shot by Kevin Porter Jr. Hopefully it leads to more great moments from KPJ this year. But unfortunately, that didn't translate into the next game, which was last night game against the Mavericks, where the Rockets were going against a Maverick team that had won four in a row, but were playing without Luka Doncic and were playing without Porzingis as well. And the Rockets pretty much went out and let the Mavericks run them out of their own building. It was pretty much over after the first quarter. The Mavericks put up 43 points, their most points in a quarter for the year, in the first quarter, and then it just pretty much got worse throughout the rest of the game. Even though the Rockets they both scored 37 points in the second quarter. They both scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. The Mavericks outscored them by only 4 points in the third quarter. So if you erase the third quarter, the Rockets actually only lost the game by 4 points, but unfortunately, that's not how the NBA works. So the Rockets just got, like I said, ran out of the building. The Mavs shot 54% from the field. They shot 17-38 from three. The Mavs actually missed 13 free throws, so the game could have actually been even worse. But the Rockets got a rebound of 55-40. It was just horrible all around. No effort. The defensive rotations were non-existent. Dallas got whatever they wanted. And yes, Dallas was making shots, but at the end of the day, you can't let a team come into your building without their two best players and outscore you 43-23 in the first quarter. The Rockets got out rebounded 55-40. They got doubled up in assists. It was just one of the worst games I've seen in the last 2 years. And that's saying something considering the Rockets haven't been that great the last 2 years, to say the least. So that's what pretty much would happen with this last game. Of course, the Rockets are off tonight before they play again tomorrow, and actually play tomorrow and Monday because of the rescheduling that happened earlier in the year. The Rockets will be playing the Philadelphia 76ers on Monday. And like I said, they will be playing again tomorrow. So they'll have a chance to come back and wash the taste of this horrible game out of their mouth. I mean, Jalen Green still looked okay, not as good as he'd been looking, but honestly, he didn't really have a lot of opportunity considering the game that got out of hand really early, and the Rockets didn't really want to push him in a game where they were down by 30-some points during that game. Of course, Jayshon Tate is always going to give his all. He was probably the best Rocket on the court for Houston last night. But other than that, it was pretty much just a forgettable game. Rockets couldn't get anything going. And like I said, that game was over with pretty fast. It was some good news. There was a tribute to Bill Royal last night, which was great, seeing all the old, you know, old timers. And yes, I can't say that because I'm heading towards that way. But it was good to see all the people that you kind of grew up listening to and watching. They had Akeem there. Rudy T was there. They had Lisa Malosky, who was like the first sideline reporter for the Rockets. They had, of course, Calvin Murphy. They had several other people there. So it was good to see that. That was pretty much the only thing that made last night worth it, was watching that tribute to Bill Worrell last night, who many of you know, or, you know, if you've been following Rockets any time, he's pretty much the voice of the – he is the voice of the Houston Rockets and Houston sports in general. So that was good to see. Unfortunately, they also had something else last night, some type of hot dog Fruit Loop concoction. I'm not exactly sure what that was, but apparently a few people tried it that we all know well from Rockets Twitter, and they said that it wasn't a horrible, disgusting mess. So, hey, I guess that's a win for the Rockets concession. So that was something else that happened last night. I'm hoping that that wasn't the reason why the Rockets got blown out. If it was, let's not bring that hot dog back again, please. So that's going to wrap it up for the first segment. Second segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about Jalen Green and his progression from the start of the year to his last several games, where he's been a lot better from the field and just getting to the free throw line. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And welcome back to Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media. And in the second segment, we're going to be talking about Jalen Green's progression from the start of the year until, you know, the last several games, where he's been a lot better. As I mentioned a little bit in the first segment, Jalen Green has definitely gotten a lot better in the last seven or eight games since coming back from the injury. Prior to the injury, he was definitely struggling. It had a lot to do with just being a rookie and trying to get used to the NBA. Also had to do with the Rockets lineup of having two bigs in that don't really complement each other at all, and Daniel Tice and Christian Wood. And we saw flashes of what Jalen Green could be right before the injury that set him out for several weeks in the Chicago Bulls game, where he came out on fire. He was 4-for-5 from the field in the first quarter, and then had the injury and then was out for several weeks, and then returned on December 23rd. And before December 23rd, Jalen Green was only shooting 38% from the field, 28% from three, was only getting to the line three times a game, where it was a combination of him not being aggressive, but also the refs just not blowing the whistle at all. Like, they just didn't understand his game or wasn't giving him the foul call because he's a rookie, whatever the case was, he wasn't getting to the free throw line. And then he was only averaging 14 points a game before the injury. Since coming back, he's shooting 45% from three and the field. He's getting to the line over five times a game. He's a lot more aggressive. He's also averaging over 19 points a game. I mean, that's just amazing progression for a guy that started the season slow, similar to Anthony Edwards, where people were questioning him early in the year last year. And then he just took off, especially in the second half of the year, where he almost won Rookie of the Year and finished in second to LaMelo Ball. It's been pretty much the same thing for Jalen Green ever since we saw him come back, with the one big lineup of having Christian Wood at center has definitely opened up the court for Jalen Green. His handles have gotten even tighter since they were at the beginning of the year, to where he's able to take players off of the defenders off the dribble now and get to the basket. There's still, of course, a couple of things need to work on, but I mean, he's a rookie. He's in his first year. He has plenty of time to grow and get better as the season goes on. I mean, he's going to develop a floater so that he doesn't have to always go to the basket and get a shot blocked. He's going to get better overall from the three-point range. I mean, 45% right now in the last eight games is pretty good. I mean, but if he can consistently be a 38% three-point shooter, I mean, I think most Rockets fans would definitely take that. He's also going to continue to work on his playmaking ability, because that's going to be the next step for him in his overall game, is being able to get his teammates involved. Because eventually, I mean, teams are already starting to do a little bit now, but they're really going to start doing more of the double teaming and getting the ball of his hand. So he's going to become a passer, similar to, of course, he doesn't have to be as great as James Harden was as a passer, but at least being able to get other players involved and be able to punish teams that are trying to double team him. And just, you know, his overall defensive game as well has gotten better since the beginning of the year, but he's still getting beat on a lot of backdoor cuts and not playing the proper angles. And again, I mean, this is kind of all nitpicking. I mean, he's 19-20-year-old rookie. He's going to have stuff he's going to have to work on, of course. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, he's going to have to work on these things, and he'll have plenty of time rest of this year. Hopefully no more major injuries that keep him out for several weeks. And then, of course, he's going to have plenty of time this offseason to where all he has to do is just focus on his game. So he has plenty of time to get better with that. Another guy that's, you know, we're still monitoring is Josh Christopher, whose time has been kind of spotty on and off because of injuries. And then the Rockets start getting players back, so he hasn't had as much time, but he's kind of supplanted DJ Augustin as that backup guard that we've seen a lot as well. So he's supplanted him as the backup guard. He's getting more minutes as sort of a pseudo point slash shooting guard. So Josh Christopher, like I said, is kind of slowed down a little bit because he's not getting as much time, but there's some things, of course, he has to work on as well, just getting more consistent from outside and also playing better defense without fouling. That's something he's definitely going to have to work on as we go throughout the rest of this year. Another one, Usman Garuba, hasn't really played. He's actually been in COVID protocol, so he hasn't had a chance to play. So we really haven't saw much of him. More than likely, he'll probably get sent back down to G League since the Vipers are starting their regular season actually today. And speaking of the Vipers, before we go too far, they actually just signed Gerald Green, who I didn't mention at the beginning of the show, came out of retirement, is actually going to start resume his basketball career. I mean, he saw players like Lance Stevenson and Isaiah Thomas and even Joe Johnson get back in the league. So I'm sure he figured like, wow, I just retired this year, so I'm going to try to get back in the NBA myself. So he actually signed with the Vipers. Unfortunately, he can't play for the Rockets because of some rule deep down in the collective bargaining agreement to where if you pay a coach on your staff, that coach cannot play on your team that year. So he won't be able to play for the Rockets, but he will be playing for the Vipers possibly tonight. They're on the road versus the Texas Legends, so he'll probably get some playing time tonight. Unfortunately, I won't be able to talk to him post-game because they are on the road and the Vipers usually don't do post-game interviews, but he will be having a chance to play more than likely tonight. Some NBA team will pick him up pretty fast, I have to imagine, because if you've seen him on the court, you see that he's still in shape. It won't take long. I think Isaiah Thomas played one or two games in the G League and then he was picked up pretty quickly. So I would imagine it's the same case for Gerald Green. He may play two games, three games at the most, and then he'll be back in the NBA playing on the team and probably contributing more than likely. So that was definitely a good thing to see. I know the Rockets hate to lose him as a coach, but once he retires again, I don't think they have any problem bringing him back onto the staff. But again, back to some of the other younger players I was talking about, like I said, Garuba's still in protocol, so he hasn't really been playing that much. He'll probably be back down with the Vipers more than likely once he gets back. The other young guy, of course, we all know, probably other than Jalen Green, is the most popular player on the team. That's Alperen Şengün, who also was dealing with an injury. He's been out the last several games. They actually reevaluated him yesterday or the day before. Coach Stiles gave an update and said that, unfortunately, he won't be back. They won't be able to evaluate him for another week. Not that he'll be back in a week. And anytime they say that they have to evaluate him for another week, that more than likely means he's going to be out even longer, because that's just an evaluation. That's to evaluate to even see when he's going to actually play. So he's probably going to be out at least another couple of weeks, unfortunately. He had an interview today, and our man Big Sarge asked him the question. And, of course, he said that he's sad and upset that he's not able to be out on the court. So that's definitely, I know a lot of Rockets fans have been waiting for him to get back on the court. It's probably going to be another couple of weeks, unfortunately. So it's really more about, until Şengün comes back, it's about Jalen Green. It's about KPJ and Josh Christopher and seeing them develop. Because at the end of the day, regardless of the Rockets win-loss record, it doesn't matter. I mean, of course, it'd be better if they're in the top three pick. But it's really about Jalen Green progression. It's about Josh Christopher progression, Alperen Şengün, and to see if you can get anything from Usman Garuba to see, you know, if he's going to be part of that core group. Because right now, those three players that I mentioned previously are definitely part of the core group. And if Jalen Green can continue to improve throughout the year, I mean, that's really all you can ask for at the end of the day, is that he improves and that he gets to the point where he is the number one player on your team, because you drafted him number two for a reason. It wasn't to be a backup. It wasn't to be the third or fourth best player on the team. It was to be, really your best player. At the very least, your 1B, but you want Jalen Green to be your lead player, the player that leads your team into the next decade. So this continuing improvement has been great to see. And that's really what I'm watching more than anything, more than even the scores of the game. It's good if they win. That's great. You don't want them going 20 game losing streak, but I really want to see Jalen Green continue to improve his overall game. And then, the sky's the limit when you're going into year 2, 3, and 4. That's when you're really going to take off. So that's what you should be watching really more than the games, is these young guys' progression into the rest of the year. So definitely make sure you're paying attention to that more than the box scores. That's going to do it for the second segment. And last segment, we're going to be going through some hypothetical trades that the Rockets can make with the trade deadline coming up fast. They have several players on their team that other teams would possibly want, specifically contenders. So it would definitely be interesting to see how all that plays out. And we're going to talk about some of those trades in the last segment. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And continue here on the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. If you can do us a favor and leave us a review or drop us some stars, preferably 5 stars, definitely not 0. We would definitely appreciate it. And on this last segment, we're going to be discussing a few hypothetical trades the Rockets could make, because they have a few veterans on their teams that other teams definitely would want for their team, especially contending teams. And the trade deadline is coming up fast. And we know the Rockets are probably going to be pretty involved in the trades that are coming up at the trade deadline, because, again, they are rebuilding. They're looking forward towards the future. So some of these veterans may not fit into their future plans. We saw some news come out recently about Cam Reddish, and that the Atlanta Hawks are possibly not going to extend him, that he's more likely going to become a free agent, because there's only so much money they can pay him under his current contract situation. So that may lead Cam Reddish to go to another team. So the Hawks may think to themselves, well, if we're going to lose him for nothing, we might as well trade him now before the trade deadline. And this is where the Rockets come in, because Cam Reddish is another young guy that would fit pretty well in with the other young guys on the Rockets team. He's had some injury history. He hadn't played a lot, showed some flashes in the playoffs last year, has had some really good games this year. He is, like I said, coming up on his contract here pretty soon. And the Hawks may just think about moving on and, picking up some other players, because they are contending now. Even though Trae Young is a, no pun intended, young player, he's still, part of the Hawks team that's trying to contend now with Capella, with Collins. They have older players like Gallinari and Lou Williams, and they have other younger players or older players on their team. So they're trying to contend right now. Bojanovic has been hurt on and off, their usual starting shooting guard. Kevin Huerter's been in and out of their lineup. He starts some games he doesn't. So maybe they're looking for a more solid player that can actually fit into their rotation, that they can kind of on game in and game out, that can help out Trae Young. So at the end of the day, they need as much firepower as they can give. They're going to continue with the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks of the world. So a hypothetical trade that I was looking at possibly is the Rockets would be sending out Eric Gordon and DJ Augustine to make the salaries match. And the Rockets would give back Danilo Gallinari and Cam Reddish. Of course, it's all about Cam Reddish. More than likely, the Rockets would probably have to send out a draft pick, because I don't know if that'll be enough to get a player like Cam Reddish. But even though Eric Gordon is having one of his best years of his career, if you look at his raw numbers, he's one of the best top 5 shooters in the league, 3-point range, still plays really good defense in the post on the perimeter, and will instantly be a starting shooting guard for the Hawks. He's playoff ready. He showed what he can do in the playoffs. He's the type of player that the Hawks need to be able to compete in the NBA. especially in the playoffs when you get deeper in the playoffs. So, I mean, even though he is an older player, the last year of his contract is not guaranteed. So that's something that not fully guaranteed. So that's something that also may help out with the Rockets in this trade. Like I said, the Rockets may have to give up another draft pick. No way in the world I would give up my own draft pick. The Rockets have the Heat or Brooklyn's pick this year, whoever has the worst record, which probably more than likely is going to be the Heat. Next year, they also have the Milwaukee Bucks pick, and they have their pick the next 2 years, which, like I said, you're not giving them either one of your picks for Cam Reddish. So it'd probably be one of those other picks, plus Eric Gordon and DJ Augustine. But like I said, Cam Reddish would fit in perfectly with the young core. Yes, I know Jason Tate plays small forward right now, and Jason Tate will still have a role on this team, but I just think that Cam Reddish has more of an upside when you look at it overall as far as small forwards and players that you won't have on your team. I mean, Cam Reddish is only right now he is 22 years old, so he fits in perfectly with Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. and Josh Christopher and some of the other younger guys. So that's one possible trade that the Rockets could be looking to make. Another trade, and this kind of goes with Christian Wood because of all the drama that's been surrounding Christian Wood. And he has a contract coming up in a couple of years. And again, I have been on record for a long time saying I wouldn't just trade Christian Wood just to be trading him. And I still believe that. But if a trade comes along that makes sense for the Rockets, it's a possibility. There, you know, could be several other trades out there because he doesn't make a lot of money, but he also is not on a minimum. So it's a little bit more difficult. So one trade and a player I've been liking for a long time, just his overall game, he is Miles Turner. He shoots over 36-37% from three, just like Christian Wood. But the difference is Miles Turner is one of the best defensive centers in the league. He's always near the top of the league in shot blocks. He's also a type of player that can switch out onto guards. He's the type of player that I think Alperen Şengün can play next to because he can stretch the floor and he can cover for Alperen Şengün's defensive mistakes. And he's on the same length contract, 2 years, $18 million. I don't think he'll be requesting a max contract. I mean, who knows for sure. But at the end of the day, I just think he's a better overall fit than Christian Wood is because he gives you that toughness inside and he can still step out and hit the shot and he won't clog up the lane like Daniel Tice did earlier in the year with Christian Wood, which caused a lot of the problem the Rockets are dealing with as far as a record right now. So I think that a Miles Turner for Christian Wood straight up trade would benefit both teams. Now I know Indiana was saying they're trying to rebuild, so that may kind of factor into it as well. And again, these are hypothetical trades. These aren't trades that I'm saying are locked in stone and you have to automatically believe that these trades are going to happen. These are kind of just trades that came off the top of my head that I think that would benefit the Rockets in the long run, but also aren't preposterous. Like some of the trades are like trading Steph Curry for John Wall, just ridiculous trades that will never happen in a million years. I think trades that are more like this could benefit both teams, but at the end of the day, again, it's a two-way deal. The Pacers would have to agree to a trade like this, and do they want a Christian Wood on their team who's also going to be – his contract's going to be up in a couple of years? Who knows? You may have to throw in other things, but this is just type of trades that I think the Rockets should be looking at. If they're going to get another big man, it has to be a big man that can stretch the floor. It can't be a big man that cannot shoot threes. They have to be able to shoot threes and be able to get out of the paint and actually still be able to score. But also, like Miles Turner, be able to still get down there and block shots. And not a lot of centers out there like that. So that's why I thought of a Miles Turner when I was talking about a trade. And he's 25 years old. He won't be 26 till a couple months from now. So, again, he's about the same age, but – like I said, yes, he shoots threes just like Christian Wood. He may not be as good off the dribble, but I don't think that's really a requirement that you need at center right now when you already have Alperen Şengün. But again, his defense is what sells it for me. He's one of the best defensive centers in the league, and I think that's something the Rockets definitely could use because their defense is just horrid. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the league, and it's been like that all year long. And it's because they really don't have any type of rim protection at all. Another trade that I was possibly looking at, and this is more of a just knock it out of the park kind of Hail Mary type trade. There's been some rumblings about the Kings wanting to move on from De'Aaron Fox, and I know some people may not be as crazy about De'Aaron Fox because then you already have Kevin Porter Jr. And I've been on record saying that I believe Kevin Porter Jr. can be a starting point guard going forward in the NBA. But if you are able to get a player of a De'Aaron Fox caliber, I'll be willing to move Kevin Porter Jr. to small forward and roll with De'Aaron Fox, who is one of the fastest players in the league, who, yes, he's on a 5-year, $28 million a year contract, but I think he's the type of player that can elevate your team and that you can actually build with because he's still young enough to be part of a rebuilding core. So that's definitely a player that I would I would consider when it comes down to wanting to make a trade. In that trade, the Rockets would have to send out Christian Wood, DJ Augustine, and unfortunately, they would have to include one of the lower salary guys because they have to make the salaries match. And in this instance, Usman Garuba. I know you don't want to lose Garuba, who's a rookie and still has time to develop. But at the end of the day, if you're able to get talent, sometimes you have to make hard decisions. And me personally, I've always liked De'Aaron Fox's game. He's the type of player that can get to the basket against anybody. Like I say, he's one of the fastest players in the league. He can help with the younger guys. He can help in transition. I mean, he's the type of guy you get him in transition. I mean, my God, there's not too many players that's going to be able to stop him and Jalen Green, who we already know Jalen Green has one of the fastest first steps in the league. So if you can get a player like De'Aaron Fox, and like I say, yeah, I know he may not be a superstar at this point, but he still really raises your profile as a team. And he's the type of player, like I say, that you can build around. You don't have to necessarily always get the superstar in every single trade. You can get a player like De'Aaron Fox who – I think he's kind of on the edge of being a superstar or being a star and being a really good player. And who knows? I mean, he still has time to grow. He may even get to the point where he becomes a all-star in this league. He's still young enough to be able to develop his game. He's still young enough to even get better as the years go on and he can build with Jalen Green. I think he fits in really well with Jalen Green because he's not the type of player that has to take, you know, 30 shots a game to be able to have an impact on the game. And he's also a pretty good playmaker. I mean, that's another thing that the Rockets could use. I know Kevin Porter Jr. is still building. And like I said, I wouldn't just give away Kevin Porter Jr. or move Kevin Porter Jr. off of the point guard position just to move him off the point guard position. But if you can get a player like a De'Aaron Fox, someone that, like I said, it's right on the cusp of becoming a really good to star type player, I will be willing to consider that. Now, again, it comes down to it's a two-way street. Do the Sacramento Kings really want Christian Wood? I mean, yes, he's better than any center they have right now because Bagley hasn't really done anything for them. He's been in and out of their lineup. He was actually out of their rotation for a long period of time. And he hasn't really shown them enough to where I believe they're like, okay, we're going to roll with this guy. He hasn't gotten to that point where he's shown them that. So they could use a player like a Christian Wood, who I think would thrive with a team like Sacramento just because it would definitely wouldn't be as much pressure. They still have Halliburton. They still have a couple other players. Davion Mitchell will probably slide over to the point guard because I think they're really looking for Davion Mitchell to be the point guard of the future. So, you know, again, like I said, it always comes down to whether the other team will take the player that you're trying to make in a trade. So, you know, who knows? But again, if I can get a player like De'Aaron Fox and it's rumored that he is on the trading block, I will possibly consider it. But again, do I want to give up draft capital? The only draft capital I would give up, unless you're just getting a superstar, is the the Milwaukee pick in 2023. Or the pick this year of the Heat, Brooklyn, like I said, more than likely it's going to be the Heat because they're going to have the worst record. Or possibly a Brooklyn pick later on, but I'm not giving up any of my picks unless I'm just getting a top-of-the-line, top 15, top 20 player. That's the only way I would even consider giving up my pick. Maybe possibly for Jaylen Brown, but that's a different conversation for a different day. So that's just some of the hypothetical trades that will definitely be floating around. The more realistic one out of these is Cam Reddish. I would love for the Rice to get a Cam Reddish and to be able to build around another 22-year-old who has loads of potential. So that is something to keep in mind and keep your eye on, because we're going to be seeing a lot more definitely as the season gets closer to the trade deadline. So definitely keep your eye out for those. It's going to be a lot of ridiculous one, and hopefully some trades that actually make sense. But we all know how Twitter works. You're probably going to see more ridiculous one than good trades. But in next week's episode, hopefully we'll be having some draft guys come on. If not next week, the week after that, because the more the season go on, the more the Rockets lose, we're going to get to the point where it's really going to be more about draft and who the Rockets can get in the draft, and who, you know, people prefer over Banchero or Chet Holmgren or, you know, Jabari Smith, whoever that comes out, you know, as the tournament gets rolling in March, that actually step forward and becomes this year's Jalen Green or Kay Cunningham or Evan Mobley. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. And we're definitely going to have a lot of draft people coming on the show to give their opinions as the season goes on. That's going to do it for today's episode. So if you already done so, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And be sure to follow at Apollo HOU for blogs, merch, video, podcasts, and more original Hoops sport content not found anywhere else. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode of Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.